Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Friends, normally we'd open up the show with the typical banter and the music and all that stuff, but this week's been a little different. We lost Jay Briscoe earlier this week to very tragic circumstances, and one of the stories that we're going to be talking about this week includes the family, his daughters, and an update on what's going on. So we have our traditional five stories that of the week that we discuss, and Jeremy and I are going to go through that, and there will be some levity, but just to start today, I wanted to offer up condolences and support and love to the entire Pugh family, to Jay Briscoe's family, to his friends, to people who have been around him, affected by him, supported by, and all things Jay Briscoe has done for people. We're going to miss him as a performer, and we're going to miss him. Many people will miss him as a father, as a husband, and as a human. Jeremy, no other way to segue this, but how are you doing today?
I'm very tired. It's been a long week. It's been a long year. And I feel, you know, my heart goes out to the Briscoe family and everything they've gone through this week. And I can't imagine how difficult it's been. And yeah, it's been a long week and a long year, man. And you know, I don't know if it's going to get easier, but I just pray for the Briscoe family. Cause I mean, we're going to talk about this story, and I'll bring it up. So on Thursday night, a family friend of the Briscoes, I believe the same friends who set up the donation page for them, and everybody can, it was Josh Wharton. Everybody can check the donation page in the description. It's in the description on this video. Go donate if you can. You can also click a prayer button as well, so you can do that to help support however you can. He went to Facebook Live and gave an update on the girls who were in the car with Jay, their daughters, Gracie and Jaylee. And it was directly from Jay's wife, Ashley. So it was directly from her. They said on the stream they've known Jay for like 25 years. Like it may have even been more than that, honestly. So they all grew up together and everything. So they've known him for a long time. They've known the family for a long time, pretty much their entire life. They even said on the stream, like, we didn't really even know Jay is like a wrestler or anything. Like, we knew him as, he has a landscaping business around here. You know, we'd go to the bar, we'd have some drinks, hang out, have like boys' night and everything. Like, that's the Jay we knew. And then we didn't realize like the impact he had on the wrestling community until this. And we saw everything. We saw the messages and stuff. And it's like, oh, wow. Like, Jay was a big deal in the wrestling community. And I think that's something that sometimes we get lost on in wrestling, is like, we just kind of all know each other as like, we do this for wrestling. And it's like, well, we all got lives outside of the wrestling stuff that we do. And that really came up during this stream. But the biggest thing that came from this stream was the update on the daughters. And man, it was heartbreaking to read, to listen to transcribe, and just, you know, the things they're going through. I'm not gonna go through it all, because I truthfully want everyone to, if you don't listen to it, read it and like actually see what these girls are like, have suffered in this, on top of losing like their father. Like the Gracie, who they said did the cheerleading and stuff. And I believe, I don't know 100%, I believe she's the one in the video that people have been posting, that ROH posted a few years ago, Jay doing the cheerleading routine with, I believe that is Gracie. but she had to have back surgery for compression on her spinal cord. And then Jay Lee had like fractures in her neck, fractures in her back. She had to have part of her bowel removed. Like, it's just, it's absolutely awful what these girls have gone through and will continue to go through on their road to recovery. And, you know, I just hope that they can live a somewhat normal physical life after all of this, after however long it takes. And then, you know, mentally, emotionally, again, I can't imagine what they're going to go through. So the link is in the description. If you want to read the article to really get everything that is out there on there, to really get the severity of it all. And then as always with anything that I write, I encourage everyone to actually listen to it, not only for context and understanding, but in this case, I mean, really for understanding in this case, like, just listen to this entire thing and hear what this family is going through. And, you know, as a husband, as a stepfather, like, I can't even imagine like everything this family is going through right now, because it's awful. It's absolutely awful.
It is. And as you mentioned, reading through that update, there's a lot to take in. There's a lot to digest. Personally, I tried to read a little more positively into it, in that the opportunities for recovery are maybe a little higher than expected. That's kind of what I got from reading through this, reading through the transcript. Again, like you said, going and watching the video is a completely different animal. It's a different expectation that you'll get, because context does matter in this case. However, maybe I'm just being an internal optimist. Something in the reading of it, something in the explanation of it, did make me think that there is some positivity coming out of what has been an absolutely nightmare scenario for this family. And that's really all I have to add to it. I hope that people continue to support the family however they see fit. I hope that people continue to talk about Jay Briscoe as a human, as a wrestler, as a family man, whatever it is, whatever keeps that memory going, keep it up, and keep the family in your thoughts, because there is a long road ahead. But at the same time, there's a lot of support that makes that road a little less lonely. So that's all I really have to add to what you so eloquently said.
Yeah. I mean, you know, listening to it and writing it and stuff, like, I was crying last night, Thursday night, when I was doing it. And I feel putting it out there, I'm really glad that they gave this update, because I do think people need to understand like the actual severity of it all. And I, cause it's tragic and it's awful. And sadly, like, it's just the beginning of all of this for them, because it is going to be a long road, again, physically, mentally, emotionally, like everything. And it is nice that like the wrestling community has really come out in droves to support. I know when the donation page launched, it launched on Thursday morning, and then by the evening, like, it already hit the goal of over 100,000. I think it's at like 183 as of Friday morning, and they upped the goal from 100 to 200. So the wrestling community, as we typically do in these situations, it sucks that it takes these situations, but as we typically do in these situations, like, we come out and we support our own on this. So like, that is great. I hope that, you know, whatever AEW, ROH can offer is happening as well. And I hope however, again, if you're listening to this, however you can help, if you go to the donation page and click the prayer button, if you just say a prayer at night or anything like that, they were very, you know, they're religious people. I think that's pretty well known about the Briscoes. And if you listen to this stream, it becomes even more well known of just that community and everything. And they very much believe in the power of prayer and kept asking for a lot of prayers and stuff. So like, even if that's what you can do, like, that means a lot to them and to that family. And if you can, you know, donate financially, that that's helpful as well. But however you can help, just keep these kids in your thoughts, because man, and I can't imagine like what they're gonna have to go through. And like I think about it with like, you know, my kids, of like if something happened, and like I don't wanna think about that, but that's just where like my head just sometimes went over these past couple of days. It's like, fuck, like I don't even want to think about like what would happen if something happened to me or them, and how tough that would be on all of us. So yeah, keep these kids in your thoughts and prayers, man.
We'll have a link to the donation page in the description of the video. If you can, please consider donating. If maybe financially you're unable, like Jeremy said, there is a send prayer button. Listen, I know it may sound a little hokey to do something like that, but it does go a long way, because it is literally sending your thoughts to people who need a little bit of a push right now to find some positivity. If you're ready to move on, we can keep going.
No, that's all. I said before, like, I don't talk about too much. Like, I just want everyone to read, do what you can, to listen, donate, whatever you can do. And then as usual, talk like 10 minutes about it. But this particular article was not my process, was not necessarily talking about me and my process and going through all of that. Like, it is, like we're about to talk about, this is much, much more important, much bigger than that.
Yeah. I'm glad that we were able to share that. And I'm glad that you and I were able to talk about it, because I know you talked about it on various shows throughout the last few days. And this, it can be a little cathartic for those who are writing the stories to get an opportunity to talk it out as well. So thank you. This was good.
I do want to say thank you to the people who, like, did say kind things about me and the article, because like you just said, like it can be tough, like having to like listen to this and transcribe this and like put this story out there, like it can be a little taxing. And you know, a lot of people were very kind of like, hey, thanks for like doing this, like I hope you're well and stuff. And this is not, this story is certainly not about me, but I do just want to put that out there, that I do appreciate that when people say that and who think of me in that way, that's very much appreciated. I just want to put that out there, like publicly, of people who like thank me for something like this. And my job is to write stories and share information that are, again, much, much bigger than me. But you're right in that, like, when I have to cover this all day and write stuff like this, it's like it sometimes isn't easy. And so I do appreciate the people who like appreciate that and have checked in on me.
Let's move on. There's no other way I can segue. So let's move on to, I guess we'll just call this number 5. WWE fan recalls meeting Uncle Howdy backstage. His voice was on the high side. WWE fan Chloe, who is a younger fan, she hosts the What's Up WWE Universe podcast, apparently met Uncle Howdy, maybe, by chance?
Not maybe. Like, it was, the person was Uncle Howdy in the costume. Like, that's who this fan walked by. It was Uncle Howdy.
My goodness. So Uncle Howdy's real. He's not just some person who shows up behind lighting and tugs at his collars and does the
laughs.
Tell me about WWE fan Chloe and What's Up WWE Universe.
I'd never heard of this podcast. It's this young lady who is, it seems like she just does like recaps of like WWE shows like any of us other dorks do. So good on her getting started early and just giving her thoughts on stuff. Again, good on her for that. And she talked about her experience backstage at WWE, and you know, she positive things only. And met Rhea, met Dom, met this person, met that person, said everybody was very nice and stuff. So she was joking with Bianca about her damage control shirt and things like that. It was a very like positive story of being backstage and stuff. And like, I typically wouldn't write about this stuff, because it's just like, Yeah, it's somebody backstage talking about their experience. Like, if it's, I've written a story about like Dale Earnhardt Jr. talking about being backstage. I wrote a story this week about Freddie Prinze being front row and MJF roasting him and stuff. Like, if it's a celebrity, sure, then it becomes like some crossover story. This is just a young fan who's just hanging out backstage, and this happens every single week on WWE events, right? Like, a bunch, like, families, kids go backstage and meet these wrestlers and stuff. I don't know how many of them have podcasts, but this is like a 13 minute thing, and I decided to listen to it because I was like, eh, whatever. I got really 5 minutes to kill because I put it on whatever speed and zip through it. And she just says, like, I ran into Uncle Howdy, and like, she's like joking about it and stuff. And I'm just thinking, like, this is a test. I'm going to test and see if I write this, how much it actually gets picked up. Like, is this thing going to get picked up? And are people going to, like, will this be part of the Bray Wyatt Uncle Howdy lore? Or will it just be like, eh, nobody's going to do anything with it. And it's whatever. It's, oh, a backstage fan thing. And I wasn't surprised, but it's like, it got picked up. Like, a bunch of sites went with it, and it's like, new clues with Uncle Howdy. Max fan reveals, like, their interaction with Uncle Howdy. I'm just like, are we that desperate for this stuff? Are we that desperate for the lore and the mystery and the clues?
Who are we without the lore? We did an entire short. We did an entire segment on Tim and Joel Call in the Ring about the lore. That's all we need. People can just talk about the lore all day. And guess what? People are going to talk with you about the lore.
It was insane. And you know what? I hope this podcast blew up. I hope a bunch of people start listening to this girl. And I hope she becomes, whatever her dream is in the world of wrestling, I hope that this is a good step in reaching that dream, because she seems like a nice girl. It sounds like she loves wrestling. She had a good experience backstage, and I kind of just wrote this article to pop myself with Bray Wyatt lore, and that was the point of it.
She'll be backstage at NXT in no time. She'll be sitting like front row as like the number one Roxanne Perez stan, and then 5 years later she'll get a job with Women of Wrestling as their social media director and do interviews on the red carpet, and then eventually she'll train to be a wrestler, maybe have a match with Effie. Who knows what'll happen?
I legitimately hope, like, some, whatever her dream is in wrestling, she seems to be doing a good job. Like, her podcast, it was short little thing, but it was nice. And you know, good on her. Whatever her dream is, keep doing that, young Chloe. And I hope it all works out for you. And if you're listening to this, if you need any help with anything, you know, let me know. I'll help you out however I can. Do some wrestler interviews. I'll cover that stuff for you. You know what? You go, Chloe. Follow your dreams, Chloe.
Yeah, this is a fun business to be a part of. It can be tough at times, but it sounds like the experience that Chloe that you had was a good one and a positive one. So this was a fun little piece of news to talk about, because like you said, it was a bit of an experiment, but also, let's face it, someone is living out a dream, or at least like having fun talking about wrestling, which is what we're here to do. So I full respect to Chloe.
I'm going to listen to our next podcast. She's going to bury me of like, I got this, all this unwanted attention. I did not want this to be a story. And then I'm going to feel awful. I'm like, oh shit, I'm sorry. Like,
you'll be reaching out to her for help.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh damn. My bad. I'm sorry, Chloe. Please don't hate me. I just kind of did it to, you know, pop myself with Bray Wyatt lore. And I did think about like, oh, like, do I even want to write this? But she has a Facebook page. She was posting photos from backstage on the Facebook page. And so it was very like public stuff. Had it been, it was clear, like, she wanted to keep it like, oh, you know, I don't want to talk about this. This is just I'm just kind of talking about this on my podcast thing. Then I probably would have just like, not done anything, but it was very public and everything. And I was not trying to like blast anything here. She seems to be doing a good job with her podcast. And I honestly hope that it helps in some ways. And she sees viewership and stuff and interest and stuff go up, and it helps her. And if it doesn't, and she actually is mad, I'm sorry.
Well, we'll find out in due time. On to the next one. Number four, Jade Cargill doesn't know what happened with the Bow Wow storyline. We moved on. Well, clearly Bow Wow was not the ship in which Mercedes Moné made her appearance. And clearly Bow Wow being shrunken down with every like by a Tom's Custom post also didn't help. But Jade Cargill's more than okay with it. Talk to me, Jade Cargill appearing on Bootleg Kev about Bow Wow and the storyline that never was.
This is a really good interview. First off, I've never listened to Bootleg Kev, tremendous radio name, by the way. Never listened to him, but it was a good interview to get Jade Cargill on there. And he seemed knowledgeable when it comes to wrestling and everything. I think people, the Bow Wow thing was prominent on AEW television, right? Like it was very prominent. It was on Dynamite. They did multiple segments. They teased it. They built it up. And then it just kind of got dropped. Yeah, there was the speculation that this is how Mercedes is going to debut. And then it just got dropped. And I don't think too many people wondered what actually happened, because I don't think that many people were super interested in it, because Bow Wow in 2023, I don't think means a whole lot. But she was asked about it and she's like, yeah, I don't know what happened. We had an idea. Didn't work out. We moved on from it. It's like, all right, cool. Like, appreciate you answering the question and everything. And sometimes, like, I saw a lot of discourse around this, and it, like, sometimes, like, if shit ain't working, just drop it, let it go, make move a on. Tongue-in-cheek little reference to it, and then that's it. Like, and I don't know if they've referenced it on television. If they have, like, if it was a line or something, I missed it. But yeah, they just moved on from it. And maybe they come back around to it. I don't know, but I think I've said it on this show. The Bow Wow stuff I never got it. Look, I loved Bow Wow when I was a kid. Some of those songs are great. Like, you know, I was a kid enjoying the Bow Wow. But now in 2023, I think I've said it on the show, but like, I don't know who follows this man, but this man has like millions of followers and gets less engagement on these tweets than like you do, Joel Pearl. Like, I don't get it. Like, there's no engagement on his tweets. I think they might have just looked at the follower count and not the actual like statistics on his tweets. And it was like, oh boy, yeah, this guy actually doesn't bring much of anything to the table.
Unfortunately, that's fairly common in show business, looking at the following and not looking at the reality of how many people actually engage with the content. Here's the thing. Let's say it was a mixed tag match. Jade Cargill and Smart Mark Sterling versus Bow Wow, and let's just say it would have been Mercedes Moné. How hilarious would that match have been? And like at the Kia Forum, at the fabulous Kia Forum, big time Bow Wow and Mercedes Moné.
It would have been absolutely hilarious. Bow Wow seems like just one of those like Andrew Yang wrestling grifters. Remember he got into that feud with like, Soulja Boy got into that thing with like,
that was Randy.
Yeah, but Bow Wow did some shit too, where he said he was interested in wrestling. He was going to train with Rikishi and shit. And then like nothing, of course, came of it. I think some of these people just like, they see wrestling and they see that like it has some popularity. It obviously has very hardcore fans and everything. And it's celebrities get into it all the time, right? It's a easy sport to get into if you're like a celebrity or anything, or pseudo celebrity or anything like that. Cause you know, it's not like basketball or anything where you actually got to have like some skill and some talent, and like, you ain't going to see, you know, as much as Drake wants to be in the NBA. Like these guys ain't like NBA players. They can do their one-off games and stuff, but that's like it. Like wrestling, you can just go, you can be there for a few weeks. You can get paid nicely. You're pretty protected. You get treated like a huge deal on all this stuff. And like they see wrestling as just like a very easy in with stuff. And then you separate, and we've heard all of these stories before. You see who like actually takes it serious, like the Bad Bunnies and everything. And then you just see these guys who are honestly like using wrestling for clout. Like that's a thing. That's legitimately a thing in like these celebrity worlds of like, we're going to just use wrestling. That was the most engagement on these Bow Wow tweets, by the way. He announces a tour. No one gives a shit. He's a musician. No one cares about his tour. He's like bickering with Jade Cargill. It's like, oh, like, retweet, comment. It's like, yeah, they use wrestling for clout. And it's kind of astounding to me.
It is, because wrestling ain't exactly lighting the world on fire with popularity. But you know what? If a small insular crowd blows up something, people take notice.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's keep going. Get out of our own cloud. Nick Khan says Tony Khan seems like a nice kid. His dad is very impressive. Nick Khan with some words on the Bill Simmons show. There's a lot from that interview that went around. This is the one that you picked. It felt like, before you get into it, felt a little bit like Nick Khan didn't respect Tony Khan as much as other people do. Jeremy Lambert.
So I picked this one because we just kind of can have an overarching comment or conversation about the Nick Khan interview, if you like. Like, I find him, he's going to say the right things, right? Like, Nick ain't going to get himself into trouble with the people he doesn't need to get himself into trouble with. The interviews of, like, Bill Simmons, who I'm not the biggest fan of. I think he's blocked me on Twitter a long time ago. But I'm not the biggest fan of Bill Simmons. Like, some stuff he'd, like, press on, and then other stuff he would just, like, ha-ha, Nick, you're great. But overall, like, it's obviously a huge get to get Nick Khan, given everything that's going on right now with WWE. It's a very big get for that. And I think Nick was his former agent, so that's why that all worked out. This particular comment, though, just popped me because it is Nick just being so dismissive. One, like, people are like, oh, he said kind things about the dad and stuff. Never use Shad's name. Never actually use the name. Just the dad, his dad. And then calling Tony a kid when he's like a year or two older than Tony. And he's just like, oh, yeah, his kid must love that it's financed by his dad and everything. Like, yeah, it's got to be great for him. Like, seems like, never met him. Seems like a nice kid. He's off there playing with his figure fed in real life. Hey, you know, good on him. He's operating at a loss. You know, it's easy to operate at a loss. Like, I don't know what their books are, but I don't know if they're making money. But they're probably not making money. So, you know, it's easy when, you know, daddy's just pumping money into this thing. And you ain't actually got to worry about wins and losses, red and black, things like that. He's so dismissive and he's so arrogant. And
what's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I understand, like, look, some of his comments were abhorrent, and he doesn't need to be fending an alleged rapist and things like that. In this particular petty wrestling war, it popped me with this stuff. So how did you feel about this interview, Joel?
If I'm Shad Khan, I come back to WWE and I say, I have $16 billion with my consortium. And WWE is like, okay, but Tony can't be a part of it. And he's like, okay. And then they sign the paperwork and he says, okay, but here's the thing about that. Tony will be the he'll be the consultant on the program. And then Tony's just going to be like, I get to consult, do I? It is going places. That's honestly, like, if you want to talk about petty, that's how I'd out petty the pettiness. It's like you said, of all the things that he talked about, Nick Khan did on Bill Simmons, this was like the most lighthearted jabbiness possible. And there's 8 years between these two, between Nick and Tony Khan. So, like, that's two generations of high school Yeah, that's, I don't have anything to add. It was just, if I'm Shad Khan, I'd be like, or if I'm Tony Khan, I go to Shad and I'm just like, I have an idea, and see if Shad's like, yeah, we can find that money. And then we go just off to the races, see what WWE is really worth to them.
I think no matter what Shad offers, I don't think that's happening.
Me neither. But imagine the pettiness that they get away with.
Look, man, if the Jags win this playoff game and they keep rolling, Tony's gonna get his dad to do it. He's 100% good. If the Jags go to the Super Bowl, Tony is 1,000,000% just gonna be like, Dad, I don't care. Super Bowl, let's keep it rolling, baby. Let's keep this rolling. Throw all the money you got. Like, I'm proving, look what I'm doing with AEW. I'm proving I can do this. Like, I'm doing ROH. Like, get me WWE. Let me do this as well. Like, let me just run wrestling.
There's a reason why AEW runs Vegas during the offseason. Because if they're doing it while the Jags were on a roll, AEW would belong to like Caesar's Palace or some shit.
Just keep it rolling, Dad. Trevor Lawrence, I'll bring him in for all these appearances and stuff. Let's just keep this rolling, baby. And you know what? His dad might do it. Like, shit, the Jags are in the Super Bowl. Let's go. Let's let it ride. Give Tony his WWE
title belt. Oh my God, let's do it. That's what they do. The Jags win the Super Bowl. Triple H gives them that WWE title, and then Tony is just like, I have a better idea. And he walks up with a giant check, and he's just like, this is my prize to you. And Triple H just is like,
I'm legitimately rooting for like a Jags Super Bowl victory.
Just
one, because I want to see if like they do get sent a title. Like, I feel like they have to, right? Just to, like, it has to be a thing. And then two, Tony should fucking wear that thing and just like show it off proudly of like, you guys had to send me this because of another organization that I help run won the biggest game of the year. You had to send me this. And then you know what he should do? He should trash it and get pull out the AEW Jaguars title. That's what he should do. On Dynamite. Stay tuned to Dynamite Tuesdays. Wednesdays, 8 p.m. on TBS.
It's got to be around Revolution as well, right? So he comes out at Revolution at the press scrum with the WWE Jags title, and he just sets it down on one of those belt holders that they have for everyone else. And he's just like, any questions? But it's also, WWE doesn't send him the WWE title. Triple H just gets petty and sends him the 24/7 title, but it's just the actual
24/7. That's good.
With the Jags logo just stickered on the front.
That's good. I like that.
All right. I think we've beat this to a possible point. Nikki Bella, they told me not to say dick anymore on Total Divas penises. That is the article verbatim. That is the headline verbatim. Oh my goodness. We love talking about the Bellas podcast here on the show. So why not do it again? Nikki Bella talks about penises.
She was talking about their bachelorette party. JoJo's having her bachelorette party with, she's getting married to Bray this year. Right, she said, and then she talked about having penises at her bachelorette party. And then she told the story of her being told you can't say dick on Total Divas anymore. Like, you say it too much. And so she's just like, all right, well, I'll say penises, I guess. And even Bree chimed in of like, we have kids. Like, we say like wee wees and pee pees and all this stuff. Like, what you say with your kids and everything. And then she talked about a bachelorette party and bobbing for penises and pin the tail on the penis or whatever games these women play at the bachelorette parties.
They had a penis pinata, Jeremy. A penis pinata.
Everyone has a penis pinata, right? You stick the balls where it goes and everything. Isn't that how it works?
I have a mother-in-law who this was well before I met her, but my wife has told me a plethora of stories, including the mother-in-law and chocolate penises out of a chocolate mold. I didn't believe it for the longest time. And then one time we're over at the house and they're like, hey, do you have the mold? And they brought out the steel pan with the molding for chocolate penises. So yes, it's unfortunately something that people do.
Yeah, I do not know. I haven't been to a bachelorette party. I mean, you were at our technical joint bachelorette party. There were no penises to be found, no penis straws. Very classy event at the hotel outside of Cher Delaware's kids. trying to kick the shit out of me, and Sean and I nearly powerbombed them through a table. That was about as intense as we got at our joint bachelorette party. No penises though. I wrote this because I'm actually mad that this did not pop. The penises did not pop the way that it should have. And it's not my fault. I'm not taking blame for it. This article was scheduled to go up at like 4 o'clock on Wednesday. And that's like a decent time for something to run. Anything before five, like typically, unless it's like gets a lot of traction. If it's past five, unless it's obviously like breaking news type of stuff, like any article, like quotes and stuff, just typically don't get a lot of traction. So I had this scheduled for four. The website was having issues and like posts weren't going up. So tweets weren't going out. And finally, stuff started working at like 7 o'clock on like Wednesday. And of course, Dynamite's about to come on and everything. And so like this article hits everybody's timeline along with like 15 other posts from Fightful at like 7 o'clock, and it got lost in the shuffle. And I'm very mad about that because I was very proud of this headline, and I figured it would pop people because, you know, this is our humor at Fightful. We rub thighs and write about dicks. And you know, it unfortunately did not pop because our website was down. So I wanted to cover it this week because I wanted to have more attention than it actually got. And the Bellas podcast is great. They rule.
They are entertaining. I thought you were going to say something like it didn't get whatever traction you expected because it wasn't her brother-in-law talking about it.
That's the only that definitely. See, even, I mean, maybe if it was Danielson talking about it, then it still would have hit at like 7 o'clock when it finally hit feeds. But I don't like stuff just, and this is something I've just learned over the years, is like stuff doesn't hit after like 5 o'clock. Like our like headlines like this, like they just really don't hit. It's got to be like breaking news stuff. And this is like a news almost trope. It's like, oh, if you don't want it covered, then post it at five. Everybody's getting home from work or leaving work and stuff. They're not just like checking all of this stuff. And I don't know how true a lot of this is, but I have noticed that unless it is like breaking news type stuff, like if you just like put out there, like I had something one time that it was relatively timely. It was Paige Van Zandt like talking about like her contract and everything, and like it was relatively timely news, and I posted it at like, this is when Misha Tate and Renee had a podcast or a radio show on Sirius XM, and I posted like after six, but it was very timely because it was like the first interview with Paige Van Zandt after she had like signed and everything. But like it didn't get like any traction. People didn't even like pick it up until like the next day or anything. From like 5 to 8, especially because there's wrestling every single week or every single day. From like 5 to 8, people are just like, we've covered all the news from the day. We've done everything we can do. Like, let's have a little bit of downtime for the next 3 hours. And then, of course, okay, shows are on. We got to cover the shows and everything. But there's that definite gap from 5 to 8 that I've learned that, like, unless it is like super breaking news, there isn't much traction with this stuff. So that's why I was mad that I had this scheduled for 4. I was like, oh, it's going to be a nice, fun way to kind of end the day before Dynamite. Then people will pop for it. And then, of course, it didn't go out till 6. And it's like no one cared.
There you go. Now you know when to drop your news, folks.
Yeah.
Not during the times Jeremy just mentioned. Let's get to our final story. William Regal says, I went to AEW with a different plan that never transpired. Very rarely do we hear William Regal pull the curtain back like this. And he did so on Distraction Pieces podcast with Scroobius Pip. I didn't want to get that wrong. This was a very interesting look. He doesn't specify what the role he was supposed to take was, but William Regal does make reference to the fact that he was brought in for one thing and ended up doing something entirely different that included mostly on-screen work with AEW. Talk to me about this one, Jeremy.
I was very happy to like find this. This was just me, you know, doing my usual just kind of research and looking for something to listen to. But yeah, Regal, you know, he stopped doing his podcast once the AEW run ended and everything. And he even says in this podcast, like, I'm not doing anything for the next year unless I'm like asked. But I wanted to do this. And even in like the description of stuff, it says like, it's a lot of just, we're going to talk about my career type thing. But he does talk about, and it was recorded a few weeks. It seems like it was recorded like first week of January. That's when it, because he did talk about spending time with his family during the holidays and the new year. So even though it just came out this past week, it seemed like it was recorded first week of January. But he did talk about his time in AEW. And yeah, he usually like doesn't pull the curtain back on this stuff. He even sometimes like keeps it like kayfabe, even like during his podcast days, like it was some like kayfabe kind of stuff. And he just kind of talked about what you saw like on television type of thing. But he mentioned like, yeah, I came in with one plan and then became a different plan. And he said like, you know, I enjoyed my time at AEW. I get to hang out with Moxley, Claudio, Danielson. And like we did good stuff. And I was really happy. But he also said like the last few months, like it just became too much about like me on television. And it shouldn't have been about me. It should have been like the performers around me. And I think people kind of saw this with Blackpool Combat Club as well of... When it started with Regal coming in and Moxley and Danielson, it seemed like it was going to be like very like New Japan Dojo type things of like, yeah, we're going to like train people and get these killers. And it's going to be like MMA training camp type thing and really like boost the young talent. Like they did that with Yuta. Like it worked with Yuta. But then like once Claudio came in, the vibe felt a little off. Danielson was then like having his issues that were never really resolved with everything. Regal became much more of a focal point, especially during the MJF feud. And he referenced that of like those last few months, like I became too much of that. And it did seem like Blackpool Combat Club, like just like lost their way a little bit. I don't know what the original plan was for that group. I don't know what the original plan was for Regal. If he just wanted to like help backstage and help train and stuff, and then became, no, be a television performer, whatever it was. He did talk about that. He didn't talk about like getting out of his contract and all the stuff that kind of Tony mentioned when he mentioned that Regal would be leaving, but it was an interesting listen with Regal. And I was really happy that I was able to just kind of find this and pick this up and get it out there, because people have been kind of waiting for Regal to talk about stuff. And, you know, he finally, outside of just, you know, the vague tweets of, not even vague, just the cliche tweets of like, love my time, gonna miss these guys type of thing. So it was an interesting listen.
So let's spitball for a second. What do you think the position was? You think it was training and maybe development?
Yeah, I do think it was more like training, scouting type of thing. And I don't even know like how much scouting, because Tony is very involved in watching like the independents and stuff. But Regal is obviously, he did a lot of that for WWE and he has his eyes on a lot of that stuff as well. So I do think having Regal to help with that wouldn't have been a bad thing. I definitely think training was more of a part of it, because you know, it's been talked about by Danielson. It's been talked about by Regal. It's been talked about by the people who showed up. Like they would hold sessions before television and everything. And it's like, hey, anybody who wants to come can come. And it's, I guess sometimes it got a decent response. And the other times, you know, Danielson has said like, might just be like me and Regal in there. And there's like two people around ringside, but like, we're going to go out there and we're still going to like tell them everything we know and stuff. There is, I don't want to say it's a divide. I don't think there's any type of divide, but you listen to like Arn and you listen to like Tully and Regal, and these guys are more of these like old school, old generation guys. And some of these newer guys, like they have said, these are words from Arn, Tully, Regal, of like, they don't always like want our opinion on this stuff because they've just grown up in a different way. And it's not everybody in AEW. I don't want to, because you've also heard guys like Ricky Starks praise of like, oh, I always talk to this person, and he, Regal is somebody he has mentioned of like, I talked to Regal. He's helped me out with a lot of this stuff. But it does seem there are people in the AEW locker room who are just like, I'm going to keep doing kind of what I've been doing. And I'm not too worried about taking advice from these guys who grew up in the 80s and came up in the 80s and early 90s.
Regardless, it seems like all parties are satisfied at this point, given the fact that Regal's gone back to WWE. He's got a position, hopefully, that he keeps for a long, long time moving forward, but we'll see. And his time in AEW was memorable, at least. So it's good. Like you said, this is a rare occurrence of having Regal behind the microphone on a show that wasn't his own. And I think this was a good find and a good way for us to close out the week. Jeremy, let's plug the stuff and get out of here. Go ahead.
Don't follow me on Twitter. Follow Steven Jensen on Twitter at @FightTalk_. Check out all the stuff we have going on Fightful Overbooked. There's been a lot. I'm trying to stream on Twitch again, and so that has helped with some overbooked uploads of some gaming streams and stuff. But if you want to watch those streams live on Twitch, twitch.tv/FightfulGaming, you know, we do co-stream our post shows and weekly shows on Twitch, but I am trying to bring some more of the gaming streaming back. And it's largely just me playing wrestling video games that I've either played before, haven't played in a long time, or I've never played. Just wrestling video games in general. Some stuff I've never played. And so it's fun for me to actually like play those and see like, oh, this is what it was like in the 80s or early 90s with these games, and then how far they've come and things like that. So it's fun. And I say it on the Twitch streams, and I'll say it here, of like, I do a lot of news writing, as people know, and it is nice for me to unplug from that for an hour, 2 hours, and just like play games and interact with y'all in the chat and just kind of take my brain away from that side of wrestling, but still trying to like give you guys like some type of content and some type of like interaction and sometimes just, you know, space. Like, I know a lot of people listening to this are obviously all wrestling fans, and some type of just space of like, hey, come in here, and if you got nothing else to do, you just want to chat wrestling and hang out, like, you can come hang out with me for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it might be. And it's very just laid back and stuff. So, you know, go over to twitch.tv/FightfulGaming, subscribe, follow, whatever it is. Check out all the stuff we have on Overbooked. Oh my God, what is that, Joel? Is that the alarm? What alarm is going off here?
The heck was that? I think that was the alarm to get out of here.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll stop. I'll shut up then. FightfulOverbooked.com. Check out all the stuff we have going on.
I'm at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. Ladies, gentlemen, friends, beyond the binary. Check us out in the next one. We'll see you then. Cheers.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.